Well, good morning, and what a joy this morning. One of the songs we sang was so in line with something that God had been speaking to my heart, and I didn't quite feel like it was what He was saying for the sermon for today, but I felt like it was something that was weighing on my heart this week. We were singing about how we're made to love Him, and every breath we take reveals His song, and I believe that that's how we were created. We're all created with that special place, that intimate place that only God can speak to, that place that's just a receptor for God's Spirit, that's just a receptor for His voice. And a lot of times, you know, things get in the way and they cloud it and they disrupt it, and we don't always feel like we hear that reception as well as we could, and we don't always feel as close to that as we could. But we're all made with that special place, and if we feel like we've got that in our lives, like we've come to that place where we now hear God very clearly, then it's our duty and our hope that we would then go out into the world and show other people how to be receptive to that too, just to open them up, to let God speak to them, because we are all made with that special place. And I just, you know, the way that a young baby is born, just knowing their parents' voice, knowing just instinctively from the interaction, we're all made with that thumbprint of the Father. We all have that special place. And so as we were singing that this morning, it was just so heavy on my heart that's the heart of the matter. That's the heart of our relationship, is that we're all made with that special interaction. And so, well, Scripture says that God is enthroned on the praises of His people. And so what a glory it was to celebrate and worship and praise this morning. And so we... it's our prayer that God has just lifted up this morning. And so, Lord, as we get ready to study Your Word and to hear more about You, Lord, I pray that Your words would be on my lips, that every word I speak, everything that's done, every blessing that's prayed would fall according to Your will and according to Your Spirit. Lord, I pray that our hearts and minds would be open to what You're doing this morning, Lord, and just give us ears to hear. We love You, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we're in the middle, still working through this dedication, being dedicated to prayer, seeing it as a priority. And I know a lot of churches probably do that at the beginning of the year, see prayer as a priority and recommit, and I just want to be part of that. I don't want to do a new thing. I don't think prayer is necessarily a new thing. I just want to join in with what God is doing and seek His heart. Just to give you guys a little bit of encouragement about where we are going as a church. So, I mean, if you look around, we took about 5 people out just now to go do children's ministry. We're sort of running out of space. So if you haven't had a chance to go in the back and look and see what the back looks like, please feel free to do that. But we're moving. We're getting ready to start construction this coming week. So when it's in your heart to pray over the construction, over the building, over the use of the place, how it's going to be utilized for God's purpose. We don't want a fancy building that just looks great and people come in and say, oh, that's so pretty. We want a place that's utilized to fill up with God's Spirit. So as you feel led to pray, as you feel like God puts a word in your heart, please share it. Please pray as God leads you. But it's exciting to see God moving and God working. And so we can dedicate part of that prayer time to that. We've been talking, like I say, about getting closer to God through prayer. And we've been talking the last couple weeks specifically about barriers to prayer. How a lot of times the enemy's most ingenious attack is not necessarily to do these grand things that overwhelm and just take us out of the picture. It's just to interrupt the communication, to interrupt the closeness with God, to get in the way with things like busyness, with things like just distractions. Everyday life distractions with urgent things that seem like they need our attention at that moment. Even things like temptations and sin that pull us away, that tend to separate us and drive that wedge. And before long, we realize that we're not as connected to the source, not as able to hear maybe as clearly as we'd like to, constantly feel like there's a static, like there's an interruption. And we talked last week about how we position ourselves better to hear from God, how we can move ourselves into a place in the midst of distraction, turmoil, chaos, frustration, whatever it is, how we can position ourselves to be more clearly in line with Him, more clearly able to hear from Him. And we used Psalm 100 as a guide. And I want to just read that to you one more time to just encourage you through that. Psalm 100 says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It's He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. We enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His holy name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations." And so when you feel distant, you feel distracted, you feel like you don't feel like praying. Like you feel like you've got other things going on or just it's not the right moment. Consider the directives that we can use from this psalm to shout for joy, to worship the Lord, to come before Him with song, to know that the Lord is good, to enter His gates with thanksgiving and praise and give thanks to His holy name. Remember His blessings. But once we're in that position, once we get ourselves in line back with God, and we feel like we've got everything now oriented, we're in the right place, we're in that moment, you know, we're taking ourselves into a quiet time. We've got ourselves turned so that when we don't feel like praying, that's when we know we really should pray. We're recognizing temptations and distractions for really what they are and putting our focus first, going to God first. What do we do then? I want to use the story of the calling of Samuel over the next couple of weeks as an illustration of someone who's hearing from God and also positioned to hear from God, and how God speaks, how He moves, and how He works. So if you turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. I want to read a good bit of this, most of this chapter. This is the calling of Samuel, and it says, "The boy Samuel," and if you remember, Samuel is brought to Eli, is brought to the temple as a young boy, dedicated to God. His mother dedicates him to God and says, you remember the story, "God, if you will give me a son, I will dedicate him." And so she's brought him. She's left him at the temple. He's grown up ministering to Eli and to the Lord, and ministering, being part of the priesthood. She's brought him there and dedicated him to God. And so this is our first interaction with Samuel in his movement in the temple and what he's doing in the temple. It says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple where the ark of God was. Then God called to Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran over to Eli. And he said, 'Here I am, you called me.' But Eli said, 'I didn't call you. Go back and lie down.' So he went back and he laid down. Again, the Lord called, 'Samuel.' Samuel got up and he went to Eli. And he said, 'Here I am, you called me.' 'My son,' Eli said, 'I did not call you. Go back to bed.' Now Samuel didn't know yet the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up. And he went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' And then Eli realized that it was the Lord calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down again. If he speaks to you, say, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening."' So Samuel went and he lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel said, 'Speak, your servant is listening.'" We're going to pause there. It takes us through verse 10. This story is a beautiful illustration of God speaking, God's presence, the positioning of a boy, and how God interacts, and what we need to do to take part in that. But I want to concentrate today on the very beginning of this story. I want to concentrate on verse 1. This story begins with these words: "In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions." Begins with a period of dryness. We've all felt it. Have you ever been there? Period of feeling like the word of the Lord is rare. There weren't many visions. We've all been there, right? It's a cycle. We go through these periods of intense saturation, and then these just periods sometimes of almost desperation. God, I need to hear you. You see, sometimes we can be positioned doing everything right, resisting the temptations, recognizing all those things that we talked about, being in position, and still, the word of the Lord is rare. Hit those periods of dryness, those periods where we just feel like, God, do you even hear me? As with several weeks, I feel like this is one of those sermons that God worked out in me in my own life, and I often, because I'm prone to missing things, missed it until the last minute of it. I was writing a sermon and trying to write a sermon about this idea of the word of the Lord being rare, not hearing frequently from God, really not hearing from God when we feel like we need to hear from God. And I struggled. I called Thomas about halfway through the week or later in the week and said, boy, he asked if I had some songs that, if I had any songs in my heart or anything that would line up with the sermon. I said, whatever you and the Holy Spirit come up with will be good, because I've got nothing right now. And I'm sitting and I'm just experiencing this writer's block, this period of just not hearing any words, not really feeling like what God is saying. And I'm trying to write about not being able to hear what God is saying. And my brain just isn't putting those things together and saying, well, what are you doing? And I realized that I'm here, I'm feeling that same thing now, feeling like I need to hear from God and just not hearing anything. I'm giving my time, I'm making my commitment, I'm giving God plenty of time to speak, just not there. This whole kind of process, this whole thing is cyclical. If you turn to James 5:7, this is going to be really short, you don't necessarily have to turn there with me. But in James, it's right after Hebrews. You turn to James 5:7, and it talks about being patient. It says, "Be patient, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." You know, the farmer doesn't assume that because it's not raining right now, that it's never going to rain again. The farmer doesn't start to just go into chaos and utter concern because it hasn't rained. Even during periods of long dryness, we know that eventually rain is coming. And the farmer also doesn't just sit there and not do anything during those periods of dryness. The farmer prepares. He cultivates. He digs. He plants. He sows. He reaps. He thinks of all of these things that can be done to anticipate the rain coming, to anticipate the next cycle that's going to come. He doesn't know exactly when it's going to come, but he knows that it will come. And he doesn't simply sit. He makes use of that time. These things are cyclical. These times in our life. The real challenge is that sometimes in these moments of trial, in these moments of trouble or places where we're feeling like there's nothing happening, where we're really exercising our patience a lot, sometimes we feel even more prone to temptation, even more prone to distraction. It's even easier for us to get off track. You know, in those times when you're completely saturated in God's Spirit, it's very hard to feel pulled off track. But in those moments when you feel less full, it's a lot easier to be pulled off course. You know, you think about it in Samuel's day, in the day of the judges, when they didn't hear, the word of the Lord is rare. And what do we see? We see them falling off. And then they cry out to God and they come back. We see them drift away again into sin. And then they calls out to the God and they come back. And again, we see this cycle and this pattern. If you turn with me to James 1, I like that book of James a lot. That's a good book. James 2, chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you can be made mature and complete, not lacking in anything." Sometimes troubles, trials, like it says here, seem that much more. We seem that much more susceptible to them when we're in that period of dryness. We seem that much more prone to them when we're in that period of needing, wanting to hear from God. It's so easy for the enemy to get a foothold and start to tell little lies in our ears. We have to be diligent. We have to remain faithful. We have to press on. If anything, we press in more. We ask and keep on asking, the Bible says. It says, don't give up. Ask and keep asking. Be diligent. You know, it's much easier for us to say in these moments, well, it might not be, must not be the right time, or it must not be God's will for this, and to stop seeking. Don't give in to it. Don't give in to that. To say it's not the right time, so I should stop seeking, or it's not God's will, so I'll stop praying for that. Keep praying. You remember how many stories Jesus teaches of what? Praying and keep asking. And he says these stories a lot of times, it's with people that are not even believers, who aren't even righteous people. And he says, if not, for the fact, if they don't get up in the middle of the night, or if they don't do justice for the widow because they believe it's right or they want to, they'll do it just because you keep nagging them. And how much more is our Heavenly Father going to want to do good things for us? It's all in God's timing, but God's will is not for us to just give up and say, well, must not be God's timing right now, I'm going to stop praying. Or I'm going to give up on this, this must not be. If you feel like God has placed that on your heart, if He's put a burden on your heart for something, don't stop praying. Press in harder. Dig deeper. Persist. Press in. Find a new level of dedication. Find a new level of prayer. Remember God's promise. A promise He makes way back when He's just building His kingdom. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, He makes a promise. I don't have enough bookmarks in my Bible. He makes, here we go, this promise. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or worried because of these things. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Don't worry or fear because the Lord your God is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. You ever have those times when you just say, I need to hear you, God. I need to hear your voice. I need to know you're there. He's there. He's always there. And we need to remember that promise. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you. At those moments when we're experiencing dryness, and those moments when we feel like the word of the Lord is rare, it's going to be very tempting to feel like, well, maybe I need to do something different, or I need to go to a different place, or maybe I need to seek out something else because I'm not getting what I need. It is going to be tempting. There are going to be lies of the enemy that try to get in the way to say, well, maybe God's not with you anymore right now. Maybe God is really coming distant from you. Maybe you've got some problems. Maybe your life just isn't on the right track. It's going to want to get in there. Don't let it. Press in, press on, persist, dig in deeper. Get your roots down, because it's in those times of dryness that the trees put their roots out more and they dig in deeper. It's in those times when the water is rare that the plants secure, that they dig solidly into the soil to reach out and find water wherever it may lie in there. And we have to have that in our own hearts. We have to dig in to get closer and closer to the source. That's God's heart. That's His reason. A lot of times for this is so that we will learn to reach deeper into Him, to search Him, to seek Him, to reach out to Him. If everything's always going well, everything's easy, we sometimes forget how much we have a need for God. And so I want to look at the second part of that, not just what the trials are, but what they're for. It says here in verse 2 that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, diligence, dedication, all synonymous. The testing of our faith produces these things. I was reading something this week that said about this. It said the testing of one virtue produces another. The testing of one virtue develops another. The testing of our faith develops our perseverance and our patience. And just a word on testing or suffering. You know, we often think about testing and suffering as big calamities in our life. We think of them as a death in the family, a financial strain, maybe sickness, maybe a strain with our children, maybe a strain with our parents. We often see them as these bigger events. A lot of times, just like we talked about with temptation, just like we talked about with distraction, testing, very subtle. Sometimes it can just be those periods of dryness. Doesn't have to mean that everything in your life is going wrong. It'd just be periods of dryness, periods of waiting. They can often be just as much trouble. They can often test us just as much, if not more, when we feel that. Remember that when Jesus is tempted in the desert, it's only after He's emptied Himself. It's only after He's fasted for the 40 days that then the enemy comes in to tempt Him. It's only after He's weakened physically, to your mind is really starting to pull itself, to start to question and things like that. And I know this is Jesus, but we go through this. It's only after those periods that then the temptation comes and Jesus is tempted. But He knows and He digs in. He speaks back. And that's when those things are going to come. I want to read you a commentary. Are you all familiar with Matthew Henry's commentary? Matthew Henry, I don't know how long ago, but a long time ago. It's written in very old English style, or very maybe proper English style is the right way to say it. I'm going to read this, and I'll try to... Oh, no. Pause.
Technology, it completely reset just as I pulled that up. That's not good. All right. Here we go. It is implied that troubles and afflictions may be the lot of the best Christians, even of those who have the most reason to think and hope well for themselves. Such as have a title to the greatest joy, those that feel like they would probably be entitled to the greatest joy because of their life, the way they're living their life, that they are often the ones that endure the very grievous afflictions. As good people are liable to be scattered, they must not think it strange if they meet troubles. These outward afflictions and troubles are temptations to them. Listen to this part. The devil endeavors by sufferings and crosses to draw men to sin, to deter them from duty, or unfit them for it. But as our afflictions are in God's hands, they are intended for the trial and improvement of our graces. The gold is put into the furnace that it may be purified.
You all know how gold is purified? How ore is purified? You take it out of the mountain, and it's an impure source, covered with lots of other pieces of metal and rock and ore and everything else. And what the person does is What the smelter does is he puts it into a vat and lets it become superheated. And all of the impurities begin to float to the surface. He scrapes them off, discards them, and then you know what he does? Heats it again. And he heats it again, and the impurities again rise up to the surface, and the smelter scrapes them off and discards them. And then he does it again. And he heats that ore again and again and again until no more impurities bubble up to the surface, until it is pure, refined gold. Until it has been refined, and the result is a stronger, more pure metal that is able to endure, that will last, that is not only beautiful on the outside, but is integrity. It has integrity on the inside. It is structurally sound. It is structurally pure. It is built so that the inner beauty, that the inner purity of that reflects in the outer polish of the metal. The impurities are just wiped away, but it takes a very, very hot fire. It takes a lot of intense heat to melt and release the impurities from the metal. They don't want to come out by themselves, and you can't possibly chisel them all out. This is the only way to get them out, is to heat them and put them on the fire. Let them bubble up, then let it cool. Heat it again. And again, and again. But I'll tell you, if you don't care about the quality of the ore, you don't care about the quality of the metal, then this refining process really isn't very important. You can just take it as is. But our Father, God wants for us more than that. He cares about us enough to refine us. He cares about us enough to test us. If you don't care about it, then it doesn't matter. If you feel like, but we know from God's word here that he does. We know from James 1 that he says what? The testing of your faith develops perseverance, and let perseverance have its full effect on you. Let it have its full work on you so that you may be mature and complete and lack in nothing. During this week, when I felt like I personally was struggling with just writer's block or whatever you would call it, I remember the moment, and it was very funny because I had just been talking to the family and saying, I've tried all these different times, it's not coming up with anything, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. And
I was sitting by myself somewhere, I think, and I finally came to the point that I just said, okay, God, I trust you. You've never let me down. I accept this. And I accepted the peace of that. We prayed about that this morning, accepting the peace of our situation, even in the middle of uncertainty. He accepted that peace there. And it wasn't until that moment that I said, okay, God, whatever you have, that I felt like God spoke. I felt like it opened up. And I literally just sat down at the table and in about 10 minutes was able to just feel like God just said, okay, here's all of this stuff. And I'll tell you, it was a completely different sermon than I had started off writing. But God's heart is like that with us. That's His goal for us with patience. And I don't use myself as saying I always get this right. I blow this a lot. But it's okay. God's heart for us is that in those moments of dryness, in those moments of feeling like we don't hear from God, when the word of the Lord is rare, to seek Him deeply, to not quit going to Him, even if you're not, if we're results-driven with our prayer, if we're results-driven with our quiet time, we're going to be in a bad place a lot of times with that. The goal is not to be able to show something on a piece of paper that we've written down. The goal is not to have this big change of things happen. The goal is to go be with God. The goal is just to communicate with God. What God knows is right for us at that time is going to come for us. Ours is to trust and obey and let it have its full effect on us so that at the end of the time, we may be full, mature, and complete, lacking in nothing. We will have that inner strength, that purity, that clarity, that integrity, and that endurance that shines on the surface, that's polished. So that when others see us, they say, what is that hope you have? What is that joy you have? How can you be like that in the middle of this circumstance? And then you get to share. Our lives are meant to shine, not just our words, not just the times when we're here. Everything we do, every breath we breathe will be your song. That's what we sang this morning, that every breath we breathe will be God's song. We are made to love Him. We are made with that special place in our hearts that responds to Him. And to open that up for the world to see. Lastly, if you'd turn to Romans 5. This kind of sums up what we're talking about. Starting in verse 3, chapter 5, verse 3, it says, Not only do we, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that He's given us. Hope does not disappoint because God has poured out His love on us. Hope will never disappoint. If you're feeling spiritually dry, if you're feeling like the word of the Lord is rare, if you're feeling like visions are not common in these days, remember that it's cyclical. Remember that the farmer doesn't fret because it's not raining. He simply prepares, digs in, and waits, knowing that the rain will come. You should count it for joy. You should count these for joy, because if He didn't care about you, you wouldn't bother with this. If God didn't care about you, He wouldn't bother refining you. It's only because the smelter wants to see the purity wants to achieve the most pure ore that he can, the most pure gold, that he even bothers with this process again and again and again. So count it joy because you're loved. Count it joy because you're special enough for God to want to go through this process with you. Count it joy because we get to seek him deeper, because we get to dig in and press on. He is preparing you for something all week. Hallelujah. It's perfect timing. Every time. Those of you who don't have that app, that's a great app. I love that. I'm going to make that my ringtone from now on. Don't give up. Don't give up. It's tempting. Don't give up. Endure. Dedicate yourself and remember the promise that God gives us. The promise he gives us. I'm sure that's the wrong thing. That he who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. If God's called you, if you're part, if you're in his pasture, he's began a good work in you. Is it always going to look like a good work? No. It's sometimes going to feel like it's a really hard work. Sometimes it's going to maybe be distressing to you. But he has began a good work to you, and his promise will not fail. He who began a good work in you is going to see it through completion. He is going to see it through again and again, scraping off of the surface, skimming off all of the things that are needed to refine that metal and to purify our lives. Remember that we're on a process, an adventure process. Why don't we invite the band to come back up? And Thomas and Sarah and William. And let's just take a minute. Feel free to stand. Feel free to sit. But I want to take this time for us to pray. For us to seek God. I stole Thomas's music stand there. But as they get ready to play, and as we have a few minutes here, as we close, can we just invite God to open up our hearts and show us those places? To show us those dryness, the places where we're feeling spiritually dry? I mean, if that's you, would you just raise your hand? I mean, you feel like, I need to hear from God. I need to know. If that's you, just raise your hand. Stand up. Something. Let us pray for you because God loves you. He doesn't want you to doubt. He doesn't want you to worry. If you feel like you need to hear from God, let somebody pray for you. Let somebody reach out and just speak words over you. Let God's Spirit dance among you. Thank you.